Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders will go to the king of Egypt and say to him, Lord, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if I were your God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Amen.
Thanks, Liz. Good morning. This day is a special day for me as well, in many ways. Might not look it, although I might do, but been an ex-combat veteran of in two zones in my time. I reflect on friends and just thinking back the last couple of months, really, the last few months, where we've seen difficulty and challenge. It's really interesting. I remember just really briefly, there were 30 of us in our class that we passed out of the class when we trained, and we trained, and they sent us all to different units. And so probably with 30, there was 24 units you went to. And then within 3 months, we was all in the Falklands. I think most of us were, maybe three or four managed not to get there because they weren't old enough. You had to be 18. I was just 18. No, I wasn't. I was quite well 18. I had my 19th birthday down there, so I was a real old guy. And when it really was hard in the combat situation, you'd lose a ship or something. You'd get a telegram on board, and there'd be the names of all the people who died. And you'd see your friends and colleagues who you trained with, who you'd laughed with, you'd loved with, you'd been out with, all that sort of thing. And you had a choice at that time. You could either say, "I want to go home." But it was really hard because we couldn't anyway. But you could say that. Or you could say, "No way. We are not going to let the enemy win. Because we are here for this purpose. For a time such as this." And our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the dark forces of this world. And so much can happen. I said at the beginning, what has to happen before we really grasp the fact that it's a battleground? And it just changes the way I approach, I prepare every day to serve the King Jesus. To serve King Jesus. It changes that. I might not flop out of bed and maybe have some half haphazard approach to prayer or to scripture, because I know that with the full armor of God, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, as well as the right and respectful somber mood today. That's why the scriptures say to us as a church, "Do you not know we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us?" Can we say amen and hallelujah to the King who goes before us? "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you, Joshua." And he calls us. That's why John can say, "You know, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." Church, take courage. When you've done everything to stand, stand with that full armor of God. Let us not be sitting ducks. Let us not be idle for the kingdom. He has called us out of the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light, that we might serve him. So that day when our ultimate commander comes down and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Messiah, and we will shout armistice, victory for the King. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's the battle we are in. Let us pray together and ask the Lord to bless his word to us. Lord, we come before you. There are casualties. There are promotions to glory. Lord, we thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that has gone before, that has passed the baton on to us, that we might run the race set out before us. Oh Lord, might it be that their labor wasn't in vain. Might it be, Lord, that the trials and tribulations of the saints of the past who preserved the glorious gospel of our King. Might it be that it wasn't in vain that the work stops and ends with me. Oh Lord, if the future of the gospel was down to me, what would it look like? Might it be, Lord God, that we're encouraged today not to have some kind of self-help, some self-inner motivation because we are weak and frail, but Lord, Holy Spirit, the anointer, the one who empowers, who comforts, might it be you who comes in power and in truth right now and falls down upon this, your church. We are weak, Lord, but you are strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh Lord, would you come? May this be a unit that looks to the commanding officer, that keeps going forward. We thank you, Lord, for the saints, and we pray that you would bless and comfort, empower. Thank you for your patience with us. Open our eyes to your wonderful truths, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going through the book of Exodus. Exodus is an amazing book of being released from years of oppression and slavery, being drawn out to focus on a new master. That's what we're called to do. And it's interesting that the Lord chooses people like me and you. Don't you ever think that? How on earth does the Lord choose me? Why? How is he so patient? How does he do it? It's interesting that even with my frailty and objections, that the Lord somehow chooses just to come, and I'm just blown away by his incredible love, his incredible patience. And we've said for many years now, if you're a visitor, welcome, by the way. It's lovely to see you. It's really great. Please don't rush off. Please make yourself known to us. But then we're in partnership with the God who has a mission to redeem, bring a people to himself, but to redeem the whole cosmos. The whole kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer as taught. And so we said often that it's not that the church of God has a mission, but the God of mission has a church. And he's calling a people out to serve him. And those he calls, he equips. Without doubt. Without doubt whatsoever. And he calls the most weakest, frailest, anxious, difficult sometimes, people. So no man can boast. It's wonderful that he does this. And we've been going through I thank you for reading that, Karen. I appreciate that. And last week, we caught Moses at the end of 40 years of being in the wilderness. Have you been in the wilderness? Are you? Do you feel you're in that wilderness? Moses had messed up, had murdered somebody, had fled Egypt with all the privilege of being the prince of Egypt. And so he, as often we do actually, we punish ourselves. So often people say to me, I can't forgive myself. Well, that's true, theologically as well. Because only God can forgive us. Isn't it wonderful that we have a forgiving God? And so we see, last week Moses is now being drawn into the ministry that he was always being shaped to do. His calling on his life. Still sulking, preferring the desert. You know, sometimes in the wilderness it can be still a comfortable place. It's what we get used to. Maybe less pressure, less hassle. But now is the time for Moses and the people. Moses is 80 years old. There's no such thing as retirement with the kingdom of God. Did you know that? I don't want to upset you. I praise God there isn't when I see great servants like Barry and many others who serve for many years here. And last week we saw that Moses, please listen online if you missed it, we saw that Moses was able to go forward. And how was that? He's not gone forward yet, but what's God going to do? How is the Lord going to move this chap who's totally suffers with great anxiety? Many people do. Lack of confidence. We saw last week that it was the promise of the Lord's presence that would keep Moses going. I'm going to be with you, says the Lord. His message never changes. Go and make disciples and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. We saw that Moses could get confidence from the fact that knowing who God is, not himself. That God was the all-powerful one, the faithful one, as we've just sung. I love that song. And Moses can go forward with the command of God because knowing it's God's battle. Guess what, Moses? I'm going to be doing this. I will do this. So, okay, Moses has got to start thinking about what that looks like on the ground. He's nowhere near that, near yet. The conversation is still there. We saw it in 17. So what might it look like on the ground? Even if I could even begin to walk forward into everything that God has for me. What might that look like for me on the ground? How can I face that difficult boss every day? How can I face that calling on my life? How can I face the challenges of family and all sorts of things, illness and everything, and service? And we're still in the dialogue stage. You may have noticed that Moses is still in deep dialogue with God. Aren't you impressed that God allows us to question? That he just allows us to come. And God is patient enough to give Moses detailed answers to his objections. He's not worried about your worries in that sense. He's not fazed by your questions. I think he rather likes them. Because I think of flatline service where it's kind of, I'm indifferent. I'd rather have someone questioning in the deepest way. Where is God? How can I feel him more? How can I know him better? I've not felt him recently. It's been a dark chapter of my life. That's good. And it's healthy. It's wonderful to be in that place. And so we this part of the first part of chapter 4, in fact all of it that Karen read, is really still what I've called the sending chat. Moses, come here. We need a chat. And I wonder if you've ever felt that, the need to speak to somebody, and you thought, oh no. Have you ever been in a train carriage and the Lord said, you need to speak to that person? And you said, no way. Or the boss, or something, maybe start a mercy ministry, and you're thinking, not me. Lord, send someone else. The Lord's been nagging you about something. There are people here today. I know, because this is how the Lord works. Maybe the Lord's been nagging you. It might be writing that letter to a relative you haven't spoke to for years. I'm thrilled today to see Kathleen. Hope you don't mind me mentioning you. I didn't actually know. It was just crazy. A couple of years ago, Leslie was in hospital. We was at Abby's evening for Global. We had an evening here, and we came, and Leslie was feeling really not really great. We got outside, and she collapsed outside. Remember that? It's a bit embarrassing, because I had to prop her up against the pub wall, and it looked like she was drunk from the bus. She wasn't, bless her. And so we got to the ambulance, we got to hospital, she was in hospital, and then that's that story. And then Derek on Wednesday said to me, oh, there's someone to see you. In the reception here in the church. And I came out and it was this wonderful lady, and Kathy says, do you remember me? And I said, sorry, I think, is it me? Definitely. And she goes, yeah, I was in hospital 2 years ago next to your wife, and you spoke to me, and I can't remember, I was in chocolate or something, in a magazine, something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, I asked if you want, I can't remember, but I remember when that sort of thing is normally, oh, should I really go over there and ask someone if they really want something, because they're, it's amazing how God works, because I didn't remember it too well. Leslie remembered it perfectly, by the way, Kathleen, so you're okay. And then, over two years later, Kathleen's moved locally to the area, now knocked on the door of the church. It was just absolutely incredible. God is at work, and sometimes when we think the most simplest of things, might, you know, Lord, you know, why would you do that? So it's not always in the big callings to lead the people out of Egypt. It might be your best friend or a friend at work or something where the Lord just says, that's it. And so I'm thrilled to see you today, Kathleen. It's really great. Bless you for coming. But you see, so often we can think of a thousand reasons why we shouldn't do something. Moses is doing quite well. He's not quite up to 1,000 yet. But it's really interesting that what the Lord needs to remind Moses of in this section is more things about God himself rather than what Moses can't do. Do you see what I'm saying is? The Lord doesn't need to remind, he doesn't say, yes, you really are rubbish, aren't you, Moses? Because we can do that to one another. And the Lord says, you know what? All the better. That no person can boast. Lord, I feel so vulnerable speaking today. I often feel at the side, if you actually glance across, I'm muttering, Lord, please show up. And I want to, one of my regular prayers on a Monday after I've written the message is, Lord, keep me vulnerable. Don't give me a swagger or something silly like that. Because you know what happens when that happens is you fall off the platform. Maybe even physically, I don't know. You've had it when you think you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. And so the Lord wants to show Moses and tell Moses how he's going to go forward. How am I going to go forward into this new job? Into this new role? Into this new family circumstance where everything's falling apart. How can I keep it together, Lord, for those around me I care for? First of all, Moses, he's going to be able to go forward knowing it's God's power through him. It sounds obvious, but knowing it's his power through us is a really important thing for me to do. Lord, this is going to be your power at work here. I'm going to fumble and forget my words and wish I'd have said that. But Lord, please. And so at the beginning of 4, Moses is still at it. He'd previously asked, Lord, who am I? What if they ask, what is his name? But and the Lord has given Moses a lengthy answer. Now, to be honest, if God really spent a lot of time with me directly and said, Keith, this, I think I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. I don't know. But Moses is still saying, pushing back. How many years do we push back? What signs do we need from God to say, okay, I'm on this? What? And so it's really interesting. Moses has already kind of demonstrated that he's anxious already to God. Who am I, Lord? Who am I to do this? And what if they ask, who sent me? So Moses has already demonstrated that he suffers from anxiety, and he's got a kind of ignorant part as well. He's really not sure. Lord, I'm ignorant and I'm anxious. Are you really sure you want to? Imagine going for a job interview like this. And why on earth do you think you should be here? Yeah, well, I'm ignorant and anxious, and I'm not very good at speaking either. And you see, we recruit people on completely the opposite ways to what God does. It's counterintuitive. And Moses is still at it here. He says, so he adds to anxiety and the pledge of ignorance. He adds lack of authority in verse 1. What if they don't believe me? It's that kind of like Stuart Little, isn't it? Whatever it is, you know, little kind of, what if they don't believe me? It's this kind of, what is it? What if they don't believe me? And God says to him, verse 2, what's that in your hand? What do you already have? What have you got? Stop looking at what you don't have. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have that. I can't do that. I'm not tall enough. Fair enough. Good. Whatever. You see, the Lord didn't ask Moses the question because he didn't know what it was. That would be a very silly kind of interpretation of that verse. What's that in your hand, Moses? No, he knew what it was. A lowly shepherd's staff. A staff of someone who'd been humbled over 40 years in the desert. From the prince of Egypt to the shepherd of Midian. And I see this a lot in people serving and going forward. Sometimes the Lord just, I'd say more often really, has to really, in only the way he can, bring us to a point of total humility. Total humility. Where we just know that we're everybody's servant, but we have one master. And that can be a tough old chapter for many people. It was for me. And I'm still on that journey. I'm surprised that he uses me. But you see, the Lord wants to take the ordinary in Moses' hand and assure him that against the power of Egypt, the ordinary in the hands of the extraordinary God is so powerful. It's the kind of five loaves thing, isn't it? How are you going to feed all these people? You see, the ordinary in the hands of the extraordinary transforms it. It transforms it completely. It's not about me then. And so we see in 3-5 what happens. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground. It became a snake. He ran from it. And he said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, if you've seen any of these kind of wildlife programs with these crazy men and women who handle dangerous animals, you don't pick up a snake by the tail. That's just asking for trouble, because its head's still free. I'm going to show you how good I am, Moses. Grab it by the tail. Go for the hard end of it. Go for the difficult end of this. Go into the tough chapters of life. Face it, because I'm an extraordinary God. Wow. Can't you just ease me in? It's interesting that it turns into a snake. You see, the Egyptian king, the superpower of the time, often on the crowns of the king, they would have a cobra's head, a symbol of, into battle. And that would strike fear into the hearts of every enemy of the Egyptian forces. The symbol of the snake on the crown of the king. Guess what? I can just turn it straight back if I want to, says God. Don't you worry about the power of the people. Do you know who I'm going to, Lord? Do you realize what the reputation these people have? Do they know my reputation, says God? I love Jesus to Pilate, John 19. Don't you know I have the power to free you, Jesus? Aren't you just going to say something to get yourself released? You know, say something quite insightful. Jesus says, you wouldn't have any power. You'd have nothing if it weren't given to you. You see, I'm a child of the king. When I was in industry, I worked for some tyrants. Can I say that? Bullies. Not all of them. I had some good bosses. But my boss said, Keith, don't you worry about them. Because you're a child of the king. And you're not going to be there a minute longer or less than I want you to be. And when in one company, I remember the Lord just kind of moved me along and moved me up. And it was this company that was a huge call center, and all the music on there was pretty wild and horrible. And it got to the point where this tyrant of a boss allowed me to put choruses on hold music. That's what God can do to a tyrant of a boss. The mechanics are going, what's that on the hold? Isn't it amazing? Oh gosh, that was very funny, I remember that. And all authority has been put in place by the Lord. Romans 13, that's what the scriptures say. That all authority, God's not surprised by your Nebuchadnezzar. He's not surprised by Persian kings called Cyrus. My servant Cyrus is going to do my work. Don't worry, he'll come back from exile. See, this is what God does. He's in charge. And so, don't worry about the authorities. Put your staff on the ground and see what I can do. The ordinary is powerful. The ordinary is powerful in the hands of the extraordinary. And then, in verses 6 and 7, it tells us this. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. And he put it back in, and it was healed again. You see, in the ancient Near Eastern culture, leprosy was that a sign of devastation, of uncleanliness, of incurable hopelessness. See, God can just deal with the biggest tyrants in our life and the biggest situations of hopelessness and say, look, I'm going to turn it round. Don't look at the snake's crown. Look at the King of Kings. Look at me. You're going to go forward in my power alone, Moses. That's why you can do this. And then we see in 8 and 9, what was the last thing? If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they might believe the second. But if they don't believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Imagine taking a bucket or a hands full of the life-giving water, the river that represented the very life blood of Egypt, and it becoming blood on the ground. You see, the Nile, all the time, it produced all sorts of things and allowed the land to be fertile and prosperous. They could say, it's blessed by our gods, the Nile. It's blessed by our gods, small g. But the Lord says to Moses, with signs and wonders, you're going to turn this all around. You're going to turn this all around. You see, signs often engage the mind. Wonders stop us in our tracks. And that's so often in Scripture as we go through the Bible. We see the Lord using signs and wonders at key points in the history of his people, in the Exodus, in the exile, in the ministry of Jesus, as the apostles are called, getting people to think and also getting people to stop in their tracks. The Hebrews writer talks about signs and wonders being signs of salvation history in chapter 2. God is still on the throne. He can do whatever he wishes to do. And so we see here that the Lord is going to take the ordinary out of Moses' hand and is going to use it for his extraordinary purposes. Can I just say this very simply? It is not our ability that will make the difference, but our availability. Do you get that? It's not our ability at all. Scrap that one. I can't. I won't. I'm worried. I can't. Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't. No. It's my availability, Lord, that is going to make the whole difference when your power works through this servant who's frail and anxious still. Yes, for sure. We take them into the battle with us. I love Paul to the Ephesians chapter 3. He says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Isn't that according to his power? As Paul could disciple Timothy in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying and on of my hands. This is the part, verse 7. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Oh, Spirit of God, please, I want to know your power. It's your power through me that is going to take me through this season of ache, of grief, of challenge, this season of just complete overwhelming circumstance. But also, it's knowing that it's God's word working through us, as well as his power, that changes everything. Can I just say, we can emulate the world. We can provide all sorts of ministries that are good and proper, and we do. Lots of organizations in the world are good and proper, and we salute them and honor them for their feeding of the starving and all sorts of things, their help. It's a beautiful thing to see. God's common grace, we might call that, is a wonderful thing. The thing that differentiates our provision is that we have the powerful word of God, which transforms hearts and lives. I remember a guy, he used to disciple me, really. I thought I was discipling him, but I wasn't. He was in his late 50s when he came to Christ, and then he would say to me, because I would love to go around and doing lots of good things, he says, make sure though, Keith, that you don't leave people with fat bellies and lean souls. That's what he'd say to me. That was his word, by the way. He wasn't bothered about political correctness. That's what he'd say to me. Make sure, Keith, you don't leave people with lean souls. And I think he's got a point. And so we see here, the word of God comes. And it's interesting that God's word to Moses comes before the power, in that sense. He's speaking to Moses. This is what I'm going to do. Isn't it great that we have God's word, so we don't have to guess what he's like? Now we know it's not exactly prescriptive for every circumstance. Is it okay to have to use CDs instead of MP3 players? Well, look. But everything Peter says here, Peter tells us we have everything we need in his word to live a godly life. Everything. Everything is in here. There's nothing, no circumstance that we face that isn't covered in Scripture. So I would encourage, dear brother and sister, get into the word of God. If I was the enemy, the first thing I would stop you doing is accessing this. I would cut this off dead from your life. Because then you'd be like, you'd be blown all over, says Paul. You'd be blown in every sort of field of whatever was going on, whatever felt good at the time. Feelings would rule the day when the pure and solid word of God doesn't arrest our heart and soul and tell us and give us assurance that all is well with my soul. Oh, how I love, this is so important to me. When I've tried everything else and it's broken, sometimes I've left this to the last. And it should be the first thing. Lord, speak to your servant. And Moses is still at it. In verse 10, I've never been eloquent though, Lord. I've never been eloquent. I can't speak very well. I love what the Lord says to Moses. Who are you dealing with here? Who do you think I am? Who gave human beings their mouth? It's one of the questions you don't answer, isn't it? Yeah, it's you, isn't it? Yeah, it's you. It's you. Who gave human beings their mouths? And he couples it with a beautiful answer. What I love about God is that he knows that our objections before we object, and then he knows that we don't really want to do stuff, and he knows we're frail, and so he gives us one another. Aren't you glad for one another today? When you come in and you're feeling sad and low, and someone puts an arm around you or an arm on your shoulder and says, I'm really praying. Please do that with one another. Tonight at 6 o'clock, it's in the notice sheet. We just want to give another opportunity. I'm grateful for Jenny and Dave for the call to prayer they've been doing recently. 6 o'clock this evening. If you can, just in case you've missed some prayer, we want to pray as a church, specifically for the situation with Margaret and Lindsay and Bola and Shannon and other things. Just 6 till 7. It's not a focused time. We can pray as a church. Don't worry. We're not going to clock you in and out. Pray at home if you're busy and the Lord knows your heart. Don't worry. But if you want opportunities to pray together, and encourage you, 6 o'clock in the lounge or that area tonight, you're really welcome. And it's okay, because I really feel that will really help. We need to do that more. And I've been challenged. Lots of people have said to me, Keith, we need to pray more. Keith, we need to pray more. And they're right. And so we need to do a lot about that, more about that. But he says in verse 11 and 14, so Moses says, I can't speak very well, Lord. He says in 11, well, who made the mouth? But also, I'm sending your brother Aaron to you. I love it. It's so important. Paul talks to the Corinthians in a similar way. You see, Moses, you need someone as well. And I've always known this. We're not in this alone. We need people. Paul says to the Corinthian church, who are very much into the me, he said, God has given the church, the body of Christ, gifts for the common good. Each one. You are the body of Christ. Every single one of you in Christ is the body of Christ. And we miss you when you don't participate. You are the body. And the Lord has placed them in sequence. But you see, even with Aaron, it won't be the fact there's two of them now that's going to make the difference. It's still God's word through both of them. Look what it says. In 11, the Lord said to Moses, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute, etc.? Is it not I, the Lord? I will help you speak, Moses. 13, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. And the Lord was frustrated. He gets frustrated. but is always loving. I can't always balance loving anger, but God seems to be able to do that. I can do one extreme or the other. But the Lord just says, there's this kind of anger with Moses, but he says, look, I've already prepared Aaron, he's on his way. I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen, Moses. Aaron's on his way. Can he send someone else in 13? Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. I'm sending you someone else. But look what he says in the second part of 15. It's not because Moses has now got a friend that it's all going to work out. It says in the second part of 15, he says this, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth in 15. I will help both of you speak and teach you what to do. I'm going to equip both of you. It's still my word. It's not Aaron's word. All of us need to encourage each other, but rely on Jesus together. Rely on the power of God. My word through you will make the whole difference. It's God's word alone, honestly. It's so counterintuitive. I'm bringing this down. Send someone else, Lord. Lack of anxiety, lack of esteem, lack of confidence, lacking any authority. The Lord says, no. Just be available. Just look at what's in your hand. I'm going to move it into something extraordinary. Use you extraordinarily. But the just final thing I want to say is, what amazes me equally, as well as God's power and word at work in my life and in the life of his church and people, is knowing that he is constantly loving and patient toward me. It'd be easy for Moses to think, I failed once, it just happened again. I'm going to imprison myself and not move forward. I've known people like that, they've fallen from grace, messed up, and they refuse to forgive themselves, go through counseling in the church. They feel so bad and guilty that they feel, Lord, even God couldn't use me or forgive me anymore. That is a lie from the very depths of hell. You need to know that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord knows your frailties before we do. And he goes ahead of time and says, you know what, I know this. Aaron's on his way and he's going to be pleased to see you. Isn't that great? Can I say, when I felt like a bit of a failure sometimes, because you miss lots of things, I'm so glad when some of you said, hey Keith, it's really good to see you. You don't realize what a blessing that is occasionally for me, because I'm human as well. He's going to be pleased to see you, Moses. And that's so good. Just that arm around each other, that encouragement means a lot. Send someone else. Other translations in 13. Other translations would be like, look, whatever, you know the best, whatever. It's really not a great answer, this, by the way, to God. It really isn't. Kind of the mood of it is that. But we see the Lord's honest, righteous frustration and anger, coupled always with his patience and mercy. This isn't great, Moses, in verse 14, but I know and love you. Aaron is already on his way. I'm so grateful for the brothers and sisters in this church who make this place work. Because if it was down to me, we'd be shut down. Because I'm a failure and a rebel. I haven't got a back downer on myself, by the way. I just know that I'm dust. And we'll pick the loser in a two-horse race. So thank you, those of you who've got pastoral hearts, loving hearts, who are visionaries, who are prophets, who want to see the lost come to Christ, who want to see frail believers strengthened, who want to see all of us going on in Christ and becoming like him. as a body, thank you so much for making this a most beautiful place. As frustrating as it is for God, it is for us. Imagine what it's like for God. I heard a most beautiful thing this week from another local pastor who's just been diagnosed with a potentially, really, in earthly terms, a terminal illness. I heard this audio that Liz sent me. It was one of the most beautiful things I've heard. And what challenged me at the beginning, do you know what he said? He was so honest, just found out literally a couple of days before. Only been in the church a couple of years. He's looking to the healing of God, and so are we. But he said, church, can we just get on with this now? This is what he said. It really struck me. I don't know about you, Liz. Did that really strike you? It was moving, wasn't it? It was beyond that, wasn't it? And I know you've got a personal investment in that family, so it's really hard. What really struck me about that, if I'm honest, is when he said, can we just stop the pettiness now? Can we just stop complaining about the children's work, or this, or the seating, or that? And can we just get on? And you know, it sometimes takes, I know from my own diagnosis, it sometimes takes a real shake-up to say and know what matters in life. So maybe that's a word for me and for us as well. Maybe we just need to get on with what God has called us to do and be an errand to somebody. And to encourage one another. We do that great, by the way. But there's always more, isn't there, that the Lord wants us to do. So I want to check. The only person I can check is myself, I think, on this. Keith, is what I'm going to say now, is it going to bless and anoint and encourage the person in front of me? And if it's not, tell me to shut up. Tell me to shut up. And that's so important. Because Aaron's on his way. He'll be glad to see you. He really will. And in 15 and 16 he says, you know, I'm going to tell you both what to say. Because as we serve together, as frail as we are, church, there will be an even more special bond between us. That'll be wonderful. And I can't wait to carry forward. In the name of Betty, who I loved deeply, who's with the King now, who always shouted, amen, isn't God good? Isn't he marvelous? Should have been on prescription, I said it last week. Just a wonderful thing. It's just wonderful that we can, with our frailties, exercise a dependent upon one another, stumbling service together for our King. And in the last verse of today, but take this staff, Moses, don't forget. Remember your humble background. Pick it up, back it up. Remember your background, Moses, as well. Take this staff. You're going to use it, but it also signifies a lot more, doesn't it, for you? And remember, my power is made perfect in weakness. You've been great today. Thank you so much. And I realize our time has gone 10 minutes ago. But thank you so much. I think the Lord had a word for us. But if we're feeling anxious, I think it's a great song to sing. Please feel free to do as you wish, honestly. I just want to run down with this. And maybe we'll spend time at the end praying with one another. Maybe we're feeling anxious, unusable. Don't worry, please just come on, it's fine. Unusable. We go forward, as we said last week, with the promise of his presence. Let's put last week and this week together. How do we go forward as a church with all the trials? With the promise of his presence, knowing just who he is, knowing it's his battle, and on the very grounds, in the midst of doubts and questioning, with availability and obedience, we can face whatever he calls us as a church and as individuals. We can do this because it's his power at work in us. It's his word at work through us. And knowing he is always loving and patient. That's amazing. He's a good, good father, isn't he? Bless you. Thank you.
As we sing, I just want to encourage you to cling to him. Cling to him. It says in scripture that as we cling to him, his hands keep us safe. Just allow him to come around you and hold you this morning.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.